4. "A knife! A knife!" he repeated with uncontrollable anger, striding along through the mud and puddles without picking his way. It is true that at moments he had a terrible desire to laugh aloud frantically, but for some reason he controlled himself and restrained his laughter. He recovered himself only on the bridge, on the spot where Fedka had met him that evening. He found the man lying in wait for him again. Seeing Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch, he took off his cap, grinned gaily, and began babbling briskly and merrily about something. At first, Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch walked on without stopping, and for some time did not even listen to the tramp who was pestering him again. He was suddenly struck by the thought that he had entirely forgotten him, and had forgotten him at the very moment when he himself was repeating, "A knife, a knife." He seized the tramp by the collar, and gave vent to his pent-up rage by flinging him violently against the bridge. For one instant, the man thought of fighting, but almost at once, realizing that, compared with his adversary, who had fallen upon him unawares, he was no better than a wisp of straw, he subsided and was silent, without offering any resistance. Crouching on the ground, with his elbows crooked behind his back, the wily tramp waited for what would happen next, apparently quite incredulous of danger. He was right in his reckoning. Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch had already with his left hand taken off his thick scarf to tie his prisoner's arms, but suddenly, for some reason, he abandoned him and shoved him away. The man instantly sprang onto his feet, turned round, and a short, broad boot knife suddenly gleamed in his hand. "Away with that knife! Put it away at once!" Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch commanded with an impatient gesture, and the knife vanished as instantaneously as it had appeared. Without speaking again or turning round, Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch went on his way, but the persistent vagabond did not leave him even now, though now it is true he did not chatter, and even respectfully kept his distance, a full step behind. They crossed the bridge like this, and came out onto the river bank, turning this time to the left, again into a long deserted back street, which led to the centre of the town by a shorter way than going through Bogoyavolensky Street. "Is it true, as they say, that you robbed a church in the district the other day?" Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch asked suddenly. "I went in to say my prayers in the first place," the tramp answered, sedately and respectfully, as though nothing had happened. More than sedately, in fact, almost with dignity. There was no trace of his former friendly familiarity. All that was to be seen was a serious, businesslike man, who had indeed been gratuitously insulted, but who was capable of overlooking an insult. "But when the Lord led me there," he went on, I thought what a heavenly abundance. It was all owing to my helpless state, as in our way of life there's no doing without assistance. And now, God be my witness, sir, it was my own loss. The Lord punished me for my sins, and what with the censer and the deacon's halter, I only got 12 rubles altogether. The chin-setting of St. Nikolai of pure silver went for next to nothing. They said it was plated.
You killed the watchman?
That is, I cleared the place out together with that watchman. But afterwards, next morning, by the river, we fell to quarrelling which should carry the sack. I sinned. I did lighten his load for him.
Well, you can rob and murder again.
That's the very advice Pyotr Stepanovitch gives me, in the very same words, for he's uncommonly mean and hard-hearted about helping a fellow creature. And what's more, he hasn't a ha'porth of belief in the heavenly Creator who made us out of earthly clay, but he says it's all the work of nature, even to the last beast. He doesn't understand either that with our way of life it's impossible for us to get along without friendly assistance. If you begin to talk to him, he looks like a sheep at the water. It makes one wonder. Would you believe that Captain Lebyadkin's out yonder, whom your honour's just been visiting, when he was living at Filipov's, before you came,
The door stood open all night long. He'd be drunk and sleeping like the dead, and his money dropping out of his pockets all over the floor. I've chanced to see it with my own eyes, for in our way of life it's impossible to live without assistance. How do you mean, with your own eyes? Did you go in at night, then? Maybe I did go in, but no one knows of it. Why didn't you kill him? Reckoning it out, I steadied myself. For once having learned for sure that I can always get 150 rubles, why should I go so far when I can get 1,500 rubles, if only I bide my time? For Captain Lebyadkin, I've heard him with my own ears, had great hopes of you when he was drunk. And there isn't a tavern here, not the lowest pothouse, where he hasn't talked about it when he was in that state. So that hearing it from many lips, I began, too, to rest all my hopes on your excellency. I speak to you, sir, as to my father, or my own brother, for Pyotr Stepanovitch will never learn that from me, and not a soul in the world. So won't your excellency spare me 3 rubles in your kindness? You might set my mind at rest, so that I might know the real truth, for we can't get on without assistance. Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch laughed aloud, and, taking out his purse, in which he had as much as 50 rubles in small notes, threw him 1 note out of the bundle, then a second, a third, a fourth. Fedka flew to catch them in the air. The notes dropped into the mud, and he snatched them up, crying, "Ech! Ech!" Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch finished by flinging the whole bundle at him, and, still laughing, went on down the street, this time alone. The tramp remained crawling on his knees in the mud, looking for the notes, which were blown about by the wind and soaking in the puddles, and for an hour after, his spasmodic cries of "Ech! Ech!" were still to be heard in the darkness.